Well, there is a name that's above every name, and we know that name to be the Lord Jesus Christ. This day today is a resurrection celebration throughout not just the morning service, but I believe we need to have the whole day thoughts upon the resurrection of our Lord. And we did that this morning using the Gospel of John. Tonight I want us to read in Matthew chapter number 28. We'll begin there, and then we'll also read in 1 Thessalonians. And we'll read some verses there that have to do with our resurrection, you and I that are believers. And so Matthew chapter 28, it gives you pretty much some of the same details, a few things added, than what we read this morning about the Lord's resurrection, and just primarily reading that for the purpose of bringing that again to our attention. And then we'll turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and read those familiar verses there. Matthew chapter 28 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his radiant white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered unto the women, Fear not, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." And here's the glorious message that he gives them here. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you to Galilee, and there you shall see him. Lo, I have told you." A little bit different details given in this account of the resurrection morning, at that time when they went to the sepulcher. You'll find that Matthew lists two women, Mary Magdalene, and then also the other Mary. And then if you read the other Gospels, you'll find there are a couple more women together with them as they come to the sepulcher. The stone has been rolled away, and the Bible tells us here there's a great earthquake, and the stone is rolled away, and this angel sits upon it and speaks to these women. And as I read this this afternoon and then also now, I thought about what I would feel like if I'd have been the keeper that is spoken of here. It says they became as dead men. Probably what they did with being there where they were and all the activity going on, they probably just passed out and for fear. And so they go and they hear the message. It says, "Fear not. For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified, and he is not here." So we dealt this morning primarily with the coming, the resurrection and the coming of the Lord as he came to die upon Calvary. And tonight I want us to keep that in our thoughts and to realize, and I mentioned it even this morning, because of what he did, one day we will also be able to rise and no longer have to stay in the grave. So 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 is a very encouraging passage of Scripture from verse 13 through 18. Now, if you read the first part of chapter 4, you'll find that Paul is writing to this Thessalonican church. And he is telling them how they need to walk before the Lord. They walk, the Scripture says, honestly. They walk diligently before the Lord. And he, verse 12, he says that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. And that passage there means to those that are without Christ. And so surely and certainly as a believer tonight, we're to walk before this world right and honestly and to give the message of the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that people would understand it and be able to believe it because of who we are and who we say we are. So Paul tells them to walk honestly toward them that are without, that they may have lack of nothing, so that they may really have the truth of the message of salvation. Now in verse number 13, Paul writes to this group of Christians in the city of Thessalonica that has formed into a church. And he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. These words that Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica are words not only of instructions, but words of comfort. Words that would help us to get through and help them to get through the hard times of losing people that we love and people that we know that die and they leave this world and go to a better world as a believer. And so Paul tells them here, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. Now the word asleep here that Paul uses is talking about a cessation of our deeds and our works, and we're dead. As I said this morning, all of us are heading to that same place. Some will get there before others, and others have already beat us. But Jesus is telling us here through the words of Paul that we are to have comfort in our life to know that death is not the end of everything. We have a glorious resurrection ahead of us. Just like we dealt with this morning, and the scriptures in many places deal with the resurrection of our Lord, there's also that glorious resurrection that you and I will have as a believer, and there's some things that will take place because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate once a year, as far as the religious world is concerned, we celebrate what we call, or what is called, Easter, and it's simply the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do that, as I mentioned this morning, we commemorate that every Lord's Day, every first day of the week. In every one of the passages I read this morning and also tonight, the Lord is very precise in giving us the time in which they got to the tomb. It was the dawning of a new day. It was the beginning of a new day. And as we read this morning, it was still yet dark. Now, the Jew counted time much different than we do. And it really sometimes confuses us when we think about the difference in time thinking and how it makes us think different about circumstances around us. Now, the first day of the week for the Jew began at 6 o'clock on what we would call Saturday afternoon. From 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock was their 24-hour period. Our 24-hour period runs from midnight to midnight. And so there's a 6-hour variance or a 6-hour difference there in counting time. And so even when the scripture says the dawning of a new day, the word dawning there means the beginning of, or the it's getting close to the start of a new day. And so we find when the Lord was crucified, He died, he was put in the tomb, and he arose the third day. We dealt with that Wednesday night. We dealt with the time frame of that. And he arose from the grave. And now we have life because of that. And because he rose from the dead, one day we are also going to do that. Oftentimes we sing the song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." And it's in one of our song books, maybe. I don't know if it's the paperback book or the hardback blue book. One of those two books has "Because He Lives," because we sing that. And tonight we can truly say, because He lives, we shall live. Because He lives, we can face whatever tomorrow brings to us. It may be good times, it may be sad times. It may be happy times, it may be bad times. But whatever tomorrow holds for us, then we can face that because He's alive, because He has resurrected. He's no longer dead. This capstone of Christianity we call the resurrection, it gives hope to the hopeless. This world tonight around us is hopeless when they think about themselves and the attitude of the world. They feel hopeless in their lives, and so many people do not know which way to turn, which way to go. And that's why there's so much acts of violence and struggles of men's lives, because they're hopeless in their attitude. They do not have any understanding. But when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ being alive after being crucified, that does give hope to the hopeless. For one day, we were in that condition. We were hopeless. We were without God. We needed Christ. We needed to be saved. And so that message of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the hope that is given to all of us that at one time were hopeless, and it is still the same message tonight to those that are hopeless. It gives encouragement to those that are discouraged. It gives joy unspeakable and full of glory even to those that are downtrodden. If we'd have went on and read a few more verses down in the Gospel of Matthew, 28, you'll find that there's a phrase there that's a little strange. The Bible says that those women, they left there with great fear and joy. Now, we don't see how that, sometimes it's hard for us to put those two words together. If I'm afraid, I'm not smiling about it. If I have fear in my heart, there's not joy there. But these ladies, they had fear, and the Bible says they had joy, great joy in their heart. And so the resurrection of the Lord, they feared because they did not understand everything, but they had joy because they realized their Lord was alive. It gives peace to those that are bereaved. The Word of God gives peace to those and comfort to those that are suffering the loss of loved ones. And we use these verses that I read in 1 Thessalonians a number of times, probably just about every in messages of funerals, somewhere in that message, the preacher will make reference to this passage here in 1 Thessalonians, because the Lord says, comfort one another with these words. It gives courage to the oppressed. It gives strength to the weak and the weary. Thank God it gives victory to those that have been defeated, and it gives us expectancy to the watcher. Tonight, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm watching for the Lord to come. I'm looking forward to Him coming. And the only way He could come is because He arose from the dead. And the passage that we read tonight gives us some things that will take place when the Lord comes. The Bible talks about the resurrection will bring about a glorious appearing of our Lord. The Scripture says in Titus chapter 2, and verse number 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So there is a hopeful watch of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe He's coming. We know He's coming. We don't just believe that. We know He. We just do not know when. And the Bible says when you see these things begin to come to pass, in Matthew chapter, I believe, 24, when you see these things begin to come to pass, and we're to lift up our heads. And Luke says, our redemption draweth nigh. And so we can realize, that our where we are in time will tell us how close we are to the resurrection of those that have gone on before us. It is that a glorious appearing of our great God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We will have, there will be a glorious body. The body that we put in the grave is not the same body that's going to be resurrected. The scripture says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 21, talking about the Lord, it says, who shall change our vile body? This body which we live, regardless of what people think and say, this body has not been redeemed yet. My soul has, my spirit has, but this body, as a hunk of clay, is still bothered by sin and bothered by troubles. And so the Bible says here he's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now he never had a vile body, and he will always have a glorious body, the resurrected body. And so our body will be changed to be like his body. And the scripture says, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So Paul tells us in the book of Philippians that I'm going to have a new body. The song says, praise the Lord. And that's a good place to put it, praise the Lord. We're not going to be bothered with the problems of this life. Revelation talks about the former things of this life are passed away. And he lists death, he lists sorrow, he lists crying. And all the things that go on in our life one day will be passed because we have a resurrected life. We are the people of God. We are the children of God as folks that have trusted the Lord. And the Bible says it does not yet appear what we shall be. It doesn't tell us what we are, what we will be. 1 John 3:2, he says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now there's not a person upon this earth, regardless of what testimonies they may give you, there's not a one of us, not a person living, that has looked upon the features of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one day we will see him. One day we will look upon him. And John tells us there, says, now we are the sons of God. Thank God that's a present tense thing. I'm not waiting to be a child of God. I'm not waiting to be a son of God. John says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. But that's not all of it. He says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We right now are the sons of God, but we don't know exactly what we're going to be or how we're going to be. But we do know one thing, that when he appears, he's going to change this vile body and be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And we'll see him as he is, and we'll look upon him. So because of the resurrection of the Lord, I'm going to have a resurrection when he comes again. When the coming of the Lord happens and takes place, then we will have a resurrection. Because of the resurrection, thank God, there will be a glorious reunion. Every one of us here tonight, we can call back into our minds those loved ones and friends down through the years that have made their journey upon this earth, and they drew their last breath and they left and are now in eternity. But I'm glad, thank God, that's not all. I'll see them again one day. We talk about during funerals that we will see them once again. Those that die in Christ and we that are in Christ, one day there's going to be a great reunion together. We read that even tonight in our passage of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Who's the them? Those that are dead in Christ. Verse number 16 says the Lord will descend from heaven. And verse number 15 tells us that those that are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord. We're not going to prevent or precede them that have already gone, but the dead in Christ shall rise first. There is a resurrection. That's a very, very plain doctrine in the Word of God, that because He arose from the grave, we shall rise also. I think even in one of our song books, or at least in some of our sheet music that we have used down through the years, the song entitled, "We Shall Rise." Hallelujah, we shall rise. Thank God we will, because of His. And we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We call that the rapture. We call that the gathering unto Him. We call that the catching away. And that can happen at any time. That can happen any moment. That could take place before we leave here tonight, and all we'll leave behind is our earthly goods that we have. If that was to take place tonight, all of us would leave here that are believers, and the clothes that we have on, the jewelry we have on, all those things be left behind. And somebody could come in here tomorrow and they could look at all these spots and these places, and they would recognize that we're missing, we're gone. And praise the Lord, we'll be forever together with the Lord in there. And that's all because of the resurrection. That's my resurrection. That's your resurrection. It's not enough just to live and to die. But thank God we live again. This is just one portion of life. We're living in that little parenthesis of eternity we call time. When God began things, He set time in motion. And it's been ticking ever since. But one of these days, time's going to stop. One of these days, time will end and it'll all be over. But for you and I that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just begun. Because no longer are we in that framework of time, but we are in what the Scripture calls eternity. And by the way, that word eternity is only used one time in the Word of God. And it's in the book of Isaiah, only once is that word used. But we have much that deals with eternity. And so the resurrection brings about a glorious reunion of those that have gone on before us. But more than that, more than those that we love, more than those that we have cherished and we've missed for sometimes many years, the reunion that will be is the union that will be as great as any and be far better than any is when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll recognize, we'll know the very purpose and the reason why we are there standing before Him. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter number 4 that in this resurrection there will be a joy that is beyond measure. It's exceeding joy, Peter calls it in chapter 4 verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers in Christ's suffering, that His glory shall be revealed, and that you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Jude verse 24 says, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." We're going to be presented to the Lord, and the Bible says it's going to be with exceeding joy. Not just joy, but exceeding abundant joy that will be present the day we stand before the Lord. Do you ever think about what it's going to be like? You ever wonder, how's it going to be when I draw my last breath? What's going to take place? What's the process that takes place after we die? We don't know all the details, but one thing we do know, that we'll stand before the Lord. And the Scripture says we'll be presented to Him with great joy, with exceeding joy, wonderful joy, and because we are partakers with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is all a result of the resurrection of the Lord. He didn't just die to raise Himself from the grave. He died and He arose from the grave in order that He might have a family of people that would follow after Him one day. The Bible says He's coming after us and we'll go up to meet Him in the air. That's what Paul gives us there in Thessalonians. So He's coming after His family. He's coming after the people of God. A lot of folks talk about the the rapture of the church. They talk about the rapture I like to call it the rapture of believers. It's everybody that's saved. It's the family of God. And when Jesus comes again, every member of His family with great joy is going to be presented before Him because of His suffering and His resurrection and our belief in Him and trusting Him as our personal Savior. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 27, that He might present to Himself a glorious church. When we get to the glory, you can be assured we're going to be assembled together. The word ecclesia that we have translated in our Bibles as the word church, it's a called out assembly. And so when we get to heaven, we're called out and we are assembled together. And the Bible says here that He's going to present to Himself a glorious church, not like our churches, not like the churches of the world in America and Kentucky, but the church that He's going to present to Himself that's been called out, that's the rapture, is going to be a glorious church. And it says here, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy without blemish. When we get to heaven, you know what kind of assembly we're going to have together then? It's going to be perfect. It's going to be a glorious assembly or a glorious church. And so thank God tonight we have some things that we are headed toward as a believer. And we have a wonderful home that's awaiting you and I. The Bible tells us that we have the Lord's gone and He's going to prepare a place for us, that where He is, there we may be also. The Scripture says here that He, in John 14, verse number 2, says, in My Father's house are many mansions. I'm glad I'm going to a place that's been prepared for me, been prepared for you. You know who it's been prepared for? For that glorious church, that glorious body that is perfect and without blemish, without spot. Every church tonight, every church existing in America and around the world tonight has blemishes and spots and problems because of this old flesh that we saw about a while ago. It's because we make up the church and therefore we are spotted and we are blemished and we are sinful. But when the Lord calls us home, He changes us and He makes us an individual. He makes us a people that are perfect and pure before, and He presents that to Himself as His family, His church. And Jesus said, My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said there may be some that would say those things are not reality. That's a figment of imagination, or that's a fairy tale. The Lord said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you it wasn't so. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will. What's the next two words? Come again. I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now in that verse, a whole lot of these things that we've dealt with tonight takes place. He said, I will come again, and when He comes, He's going to present us faultless. When He comes, He's going to give us exceeding joy. When He comes, we're going to be that spotless, glorious church. When He comes, we're going to go home. Thank God I've got a place called home here, and I've got a place called home there. And it's all because of what Jesus did for you and I. He said, if I go prepare it for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto Myself. And then He puts a capstone on that verse, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said, where I am, you're going to be there. I'm looking forward to My resurrection. Now, I'm looking forward to the rapture. I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord. I believe every Christian tonight looks forward and believes in their heart. Maybe I'm in that generation of that time when Jesus shall come and I'm still living as we read about tonight. But if we're not, will be put in the earth, and we'll be awaiting the coming of the Lord. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those that are alive and remain, they'll be caught up with them and go to the Lord. We'll be in our place presented before Him. We'll have our home. We'll have our mansion. And by the way, it's not just a dwelling place. It's a mansion. He'll give us what He has prepared for us. And that'll never, never, never change. I don't know about anybody else, but I despise change. I like things to stay like they're supposed to be and like they are. But as long as we breathe air, as long as we live on this side of eternity, everything changes. Everything has a different. But when we get to be with the Lord, there we shall be forever with Him, presented before Him, and thank God, never, never to change. We have a lot to look forward to. We have a lot to rejoice in. Not just that He arose, thank God He did. And that is the pivotal foundational truth that we build everything else upon. And we dealt with that this morning. But thank God there's more to resurrection than just His resurrection. Because He arose, I shall rise. Hallelujah. In that glad getting up morning, we shall rise. Praise the Lord tonight, we have a hope. And not only do we have a home, but we have a hope that one day He shall come for us. And that hope will be satisfied when we hear the sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel, as we read tonight, and the Lord Himself shall descend. He's not going to send an angel. He's not going to send a battalion of legions of angels to come and get us. The Lord Himself shall come, just like when He left here in Acts chapter number 1. Those disciples were watching Him as all of a sudden the gravity of this earth lost power over Him. And the Bible says He began to ascend into the clouds. And they were gazing up there at Him. They were looking at Him. They were watching Him leave. And they heard a voice. Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus shall come again as you have seen Him go. I may have missed a word or two there. But what they told Him was that He left, He's coming again. Praise the Lord tonight. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking for either by rapture or by resurrection, we look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for salvation, what He has bestowed upon us, what He's given to us, that we can live for Him until He comes for us. Let's stand together tonight and rejoice in what we have in the Lord. And we do have a glorious day ahead of us. It's called a glorious resurrection.